on the Fan, Tommy Lugauer, After Hours, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Big night of hoops this last night now, this evening, or if for some of you that are still awake like me, it feels like tonight, but it was really last night if you're someone that's just waking up. Knicks, they bounce back, they end their four-game losing streak. Karl Anthony Towns bounces back from a bad game. The Knicks had more energy tonight. They had a little bit more pep in their step. And the Clippers, who had been playing well, I think they won like 7 out of their last 10. So they came into the Garden where the Knicks had lost, you know, 2 games in a row. And they, you know, were riding high. And I never want to say a must win. It is January. And I'm not panicking. There's no bead of sweat on the forehead of positive Tommy. And it's still Knicks in 26. But there are lines in a season where you say, all right, this is a gut check game. You just got embarrassed by a team that is going to absolutely be standing in your way to get to the finals. You got, and I'm just going to say it now for everybody. And I'm here for it. I want it. I'm here for it. But the Sixers are no joke. And the Sixers present a lot of problems. And the Sixers, if they meet, like, I'll say this. I like the matchup more against the Celtics. Even if Tatum is back and back to being Tatum, because Boston does not have a lot of size. And the Knicks can dominate on the boards. They can get a lot of second chance opportunities. So I think they have a clear, distinct advantage on the glass against Boston. Now, the Celtics have a heart of a champion. They will want revenge. They'll want their lick back. Not going to be a pushover series with Edgecombe. With Tyrese Maxey, the Sixers have a clear advantage, or they have a problem that they present for the Knicks with their guards and their speed. Edgecombe, Maxey, and then of course if Embiid is healthy, that's a problem. So the Sixers, lunch pail, hard hat team, I would be more concerned with Philly than I would Boston, and of course Detroit, who absolutely is not going to be an easy team to take down. So everybody wants to make out the East is, oh, it's a smooth sailing for the Knicks. They'll just fly through it. There's no great team. There's no great team they're going to play. And obviously Atlanta got weaker today, even though they're off to a bad start this year. More on that in a second, and why we as Knicks fans should be rooting for Trae Young going down the stretch here, because he has the future of us in his hands. There's no great team, but there are a lot of good teams. And there are teams that could present some problems come playoff time. And we'll set the clock for a minute here on the Nets, because they played a crazy game tonight against the Magic. Yegor Jovman banks in overtime, banks a three to give the Nets the lead, and then Banchero with the sweet sneakers, too. I was watching here on YES. I was also listening on the Fan to Carino and Capstro, who are excellent during the calls and always are excellent. Tonight, they were just off the charts. And Banchero hits a three to win the game. So two banked threes at the end of overtime for the win. And shout out to Tim Capstra. I'm sitting out in the newsroom getting ready for the show. And this is what makes Capper the best. He drops a God Sham God reference. And God Sham God, for the younger audience that is maybe not aware of him and is not familiar necessarily with his game or what he means for not only this city, but for the game of basketball. And I know growing up, like, it was right around, like, when I first started falling in love with the NCAA tournament. And it was that Providence team with God Sham God, with Austin Crozier, and God Sham God pulled out that crossover. And to me, God is easily top five all-time handle in the history of basketball. Kyrie, of course. Jay Will, of course. Jamal Crawford, for sure. God Sham God, absolutely. If you want to go more back in time, Pistol Pete Maravich. Skip to my Lou, Rafer Alston. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody, but just off the top of my head, as far as like must names in top five, but anytime you think of handle and guards that could just make you look silly and you'd be on ice skates, God Sham God. Kyrie, probably the greatest of all time. It's tough to pick one. Kyrie, though, is hard to argue against for handle, but God Sham God absolutely in that conversation. So Capper with a tremendous reference there and a great pull. 888-808-1019. More basketball a little bit later on in the hour, the Trae Young stuff, but it's been football here, the Giants head coaching a search, why I'm not interested. I've laid it out. You can go back, and we'll pepper it in, of course, for the next couple hours as well, why I don't want the Giants to hire Kevin Stefanski, why I think it's a neck-and-neck race between McCarthy, at least in my mind, and Harbaugh. And I laid out why John Harbaugh doesn't want the Giants right now, and that could change as much as we as Giant fans want him. Let's go to Brandon in Rochester. What's up, Brandon?
Loogie.
What do you hear? What do you say? What's going on?
What's going on? First time caller to you.
I appreciate that.
I just want to give you your flowers real fast. You're awesome.
Thank you.
I was ecstatic when I found out that you were taking over the overnight. Don't get me wrong. I love C-Mac, but I was, you know, I was like, oh, yes, Loogie.
Well, I appreciate that, and obviously C-Mac's got a great spot now with Craig on the Carton Show, and it's good.
Yeah.
Like we all kind of came up. I mean, C-Mac's way older than me, but we, you know what? When I started here, he was here, so we've kind of like come up through the ranks together. So it's good to see you know, everything that's going on. So shout out to Chris. I just saw him yesterday, and I'm going to see him again tomorrow because I'll be on at 7 o'clock with the Lou Gower. But I appreciate it, bro, and I'm happy. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys and doing my thing here. So looking forward to it.
I just want to say two things, and I'm going to hang up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's out absurd that Mike McCarthy is not, like, being talked about as much as John Harbaugh, when I feel like he really should be, because you're right, they have literally the same resume.
Yep.
And I really hope that the Giants take McCarthy and he tortures the league for not giving him any type of attention, and I hope he proves all the Giants fans wrong, that he was the right choice.
Yeah, and Brandon, we'll see how it all falls out. Another thing that I think that Mike McCarthy is not getting credit for, and this remains to be seen with John Harbaugh. I'm sure, like, I think it'll be fine, if not better than that. I think it actually will be better than fine. But until you see it play out, you never know. Mike McCarthy... Green Bay, all right, the expectations, we know the franchise, the fan base, but as far as the market, as far as the media coverage, I mean, come on. It's very small. We know that. It's not a major market. Dallas, I mean, locally, massive, nationally, forget about it. And McCarthy had success with the Cowboys. Harbaugh in Baltimore is not you're not talking, it's not New York City here. Now, I think the media will be so crazy over the moon that he's here and it'll go well early on, but we don't know how Harbaugh can navigate the waters of New York City and a big market yet, because he did it in 18 years in one place with Baltimore, where he's like furniture and he runs the show. So that's another wrinkle that goes into this. And like I said, I think it'll be good, but you don't know that. There is an unknown. And one thing Mike McCarthy should get credit for is handling what... everything that comes with Dallas, not only media, Jerry Jones, all that stuff. Yet that doesn't get talked about. If anything, it's a negative. Like, there's the stench of the Cowboys on him and not the, well, look, I mean, the guy won 12 games, 3 straight years, made the playoffs a bunch. It's more, you know, he was part of the circus. He's out of the circus, and we don't want to bring somebody that was in the circus into our organization. Let's go to Leonard in Rockland County. What's up, man? All right, Leo, that's cool. I mean, you know, that's one of those situations where you said something there, and I'm kidding. I was about to say he said something mean about C-Mac. We're not going to say that, but, and I had to dump him. Nah, he just wasn't there. It's all good. I feel bad that, because you're just sitting there, you're waiting on hold. We go to you, you hear the ruffling, and then he's out of commission. But that's all good. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And I know this. I know we as Knick fans are excited tonight. We're pumped up. You break the streak as far as losing. You get off the schneid. I'm going to explain to you coming up in the next, you know, half hour or so why we should all be rooting for Trae Young for the rest of the year, the remainder of the year, because Young now holds the Knicks' future in his hands. Giants fans were excited. We're pumped up because there is the prospects of hiring a John Harbaugh. And me, I am excited because of the prospects of not only Harbaugh, but, of course, the guy I've been campaigning for, Mike McCarthy. There is a fan base, well, the Jets, we know that. I mean, if you're a Jet fan right now. I mean, if you're a Jet fan, you're beside yourself, because the way I would equate what's going on with the Jets, if you're a Jet fan, is you don't like the hire of Aaron Glenn off his first year. I would say the overwhelming majority of Jet fans wanted him fired before we knew anybody was going to be available, the likes of John Harbaugh. And the fact that Aaron Glenn came back, that frustrated a lot of people. Now that Harbaugh is available, now that maybe Mike Tomlin could become available, the idea that the Jets, and I know they're the Jets, I get that, and they're not attractive because of what they have represented in terms of losing for decades upon decades, but they do have the number two overall pick. They do have a ton of first-round picks and second-round picks over the next couple of years. So you could make the case that they would be, if you took the logo off the helmet and you didn't say Jets, and I just said Team A has all this stuff, you would say, oh, wow, that's someplace that I think a Harbaugh or Tomlin would want to go, or Mike McCarthy. Yet, here you are as the Jets, and you're not going to fire Aaron Glenn. And I get it. You don't want to fire the guy, and then you're left holding the bag because Harbaugh doesn't want to come here, so you'd want to have like a commitment. But really, to me, the argument is, well, all right, you fire Glenn, even if Harbaugh doesn't want to come here, you hire someone else that's out there. Because, do I know if Aaron Glenn's going to be great or not? I don't. But based off of 1 year, don't like firing a guy because I don't think it's a large enough sample size. But based off that year, you could have fired him. Based off the candidates out there right now, you could fire him. But yet here the Jets are content with what they got going on. And that to me would bother me and frustrate me. Because you want to get in the mix here. Especially if LaFleur is out there. I don't think McDermott's good, but he could be out there. Sirianni could be out there. Stefanski, I don't think he's good, but he is out there. He is a coach that's had more success than Aaron Glenn. McCarthy is out there. Harbaugh is out there. And yet the Jets are content with Aaron Glenn, who had arguably the worst head coaching year of any coach in the history of the Jets. That includes Gase and Kotite. But there's another fan base that is not happy. Because their general manager, I don't know where he is. I really don't know where Brian Cashman is. I don't know what Brian Cashman is doing. And perhaps, Aaron and Lakewood, would you argue that Brian Cashman is asleep and needs to wake up?
I think it's time to get out of here.
You think it's time for Brian Cashman to wake up?
I think it's time for him to get the hell out of there.
Oh, get the hell out of there. Well, that's not happening. See, Aaron, I gave you the long windup there. I tied it because it was off topic a little bit with the Yankees. Not that the Yankees are ever off topic, but it's a little bit off topic. If you're just tuning in right now and you want to hear football, 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 and you hear Yankees, you're like, what's this Lugauer? Who hired him? He's doing baseball. But so I gave you the long windup, and then you said Brian Cashman needs to get out of here. In fact, Brian Cashman is not getting out of here and never will get out of here because he's Supreme Justice Court Brian Cashman, and then you have, obviously, Press Secretary Boone. So that's just not the way that the Yankees operate, much like the Steelers with Mike Tomlin. And that's why everybody that's dreaming about Mike Tomlin and the prospects of Mike Tomlin becoming available, Mike Tomlin is Brian Cashman. The Steelers are very, ask a Steeler fan. There's plenty of them around here. Mike Tomlin is Brian Cashman. And they are in Pittsburgh comfortable with Mike Tomlin as their head coach because of the success, regular season, every year, 500 team, over 500 team, playoffs, with not the greatest of quarterbacks ever since Roethlisberger left or retired. They are a proud franchise, a team you can hang your hat on, lunch pail, hard hat, blue collar, not embarrassing. Like, every year as a Steeler fan, you go in and you know, wow, we have a chance. We're going to win. We're going to get to the playoffs. One of those years, if we ever get a quarterback here, we can win a Super Bowl. So Tomlin's never getting fired. It's the same thing with the Yankees. We're there every year. We got Aaron Judge. We win 90-something games. One of these years, we just get to the playoffs. We'll win the World Series. So why would we get rid of Cashman? So Cashman is not going. Neither is Mike Tomlin. And that's why Mike Tomlin won't be, in my opinion. I mean, I understand holding out hope because that's, as sports fans, what we yearn for and we chase, but not happening. He's staying in Pittsburgh. All right, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. This is Tommy Lugauer. This is After Hours. Lugie in the late night. We'll get back to your busy calls here on the Giants, on their coaching search, on the Jets, staying put with Aaron Glenn and not even trying to get in the mix here for this great coaching class that has already been presented. It's probably going to get even better. And then also coming up in the next half hour, I will explain why the F Trae Young chants at Madison Square Garden, on social media, everywhere, they need to go away. Trae Young no longer is a villain of the Knicks and the Knicks fan. Trae Young should be celebrated. Trae Young should be cheered on because Trae Young controls the Knicks' future. I will explain that coming up. Again, the number's 888-808-1019. Tommy Lou Gower here on The Fan. 1225 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower after hours. Loogie in the late night. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to your calls. I see you guys up there in just 1 second. Coming up in the next half hour, why we as Knicks fans need to be rooting for Trae Young. I know that's a crazy thing to say, but now that Trae Young is no longer an Atlanta Hawk, he holds the future of the Knicks in his hands, so the F Trae Young chants need to go. Fleegs is in the house now, Michael Fliegelman, but Nico Skarlatis was just my producer up till midnight. Nico, big Islander fan, so is Fleegs. And you know, positive Tommy, not an Islander fan. However, certainly not a Ranger fan. We know that. Growing up 15 minutes from the Collie, I always will say this. If the Islanders need the services of positive Tommy, they can have my sword. They can have my bow. They can have my axe in the fight against the Ranger fans, who, by the way, they've won, you know, two cups in the last, you know, I don't know, 60, 70 years, whatever the case may be, and they think they, you know, have the greatest thing ever. And the Devils, who, I got no beef with you because you actually do have a great team and you actually have won Stanley Cups and you actually have a reason to brag and you're disrespected. And then there's the Islanders. I'll always be a Long Island guy, even though I'm no longer on Long Island, but I lived there forever. Like I said, I grew up right near the Coliseum. Nico is getting ready to take a flight to Nashville because the Islanders, who are coming off their 9-0 win over the Devils, they are playing the Islanders, the Predators, in Nashville. Now, having been to Nashville, I was there for my 40th this past summer. I was in Nashville last summer. I was trying to give them the entire lay of the land. The beautiful thing about Nashville, number one, it's one of the great cities in our great country. I mean, it's just fantastic. And it's just become this real, like, I would say over the last like 10 or 15 years, because everyone calls it like Nash Vegas, like it has really taken over as one of the top party cities in our country. And I was like skeptical of it. X amount of years ago, I was like, no, it's Vegas. And it probably still is Vegas, but Miami, others. Nashville is so awesome because it's so like condensed. So Broadway is obviously a strip, a road there with all these bars, and it kind of like makes like a sort of a, where Keystone Arena is, which is where the Islanders will be playing. Keystone kind of starts the, you know, Broadway, and then Tootsie's is right there to the left, and then you could just make your way down. The bars are open till 3 a.m. There's no cover charges. They're lax on the dress code, so you could go, you know, bro out with the backwards hat, and it's that you don't have to pay for to get into the bars, and there's multiple levels if you haven't been. If you've been, you're just sitting there going right now, nodding your head, agreeing with me. It is an absolute hub for not only bachelorette parties, but just girls in general, because country music has become so popular and so famous and so mainstream that there's a ton of chicks down there, and they're all dressed up in their cowgirl outfits, and the streets close at night, so it's literally a Tommy special. It spills to the streets, so you could meet, you know, I'm a married man now, so we all know that, but you could meet girls not only in the bar, but in the streets. So I just gave him the lay of the land. Tootsie's, you know, Dolly Parton, of course. Not my cup of tea. Let me just be clear. Not mine. It's a lot of people's, but for me, that's not my style of bar. But it's a famous one down there. You got to check it out. Hockey Tonk Central, which is like kind of in the middle of Broadway. That's a really good one. For me, Jason Aldean's is awesome. I'll give him a pop. Barstool, they have a great bar down there. Luke Bryan, love his. Jelly Roll, which I think just opened like a year ago. It was definitely there open when I was in the summer. Awesome. But the levels, there's different types of music. So if you like live music, one level will have live music. The next level will have house music or EDM, the stuff you hear back from my breaks. There'll be like rap, hip-hop on another level. And it's just, you know, it's Katie Bar the Door. It's absolutely incredible. The bars are open basically all day and night. If you haven't been to Nashville, and if you are going to Nashville right now to see the Islanders, what a great time for them to be playing, because you could do a three-day weekend there, which is what I would recommend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Pancake Pantry in the morning. Shout out to Fliegelman. Great recommendation. Because you need to load up because you're hungover. Absolutely terrific, awesome, excellent. I can't recommend it enough. I'm very jealous. Plus, it's in like the mid-60s, upper 60s there right now. Nico's like, yeah, it might rain a little bit. I go, even if it does, it probably won't rain very long. And you're inside. And then when it stops raining, you can go to the rooftops. So absolutely fantastic. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's get back to your calls now. Let's go to Ryan in Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, what's up, Tommy? I couldn't agree more. Kevin Stefanski is not the answer for the Giants. Nope. I'll totally lose my cool and I'll call all the time if this fired guy from the Browns ends up being the Giants.
Yeah, Ryan, I mean, you laid it out perfectly as just the way I laid it out. Kevin Stefanski is not the answer for the Giants. And simply put, he is a fired coach from the Browns, who have been a losing organization, and he lost more than he won there. And his last two seasons were a disaster. He won 8 games combined. And he gives me Brian Daboll vibes. It's like Brian Daboll 2.0. And is Brian Daboll getting a job as a head coach? And no, he's going to be an offensive coordinator. So why is Kevin Stefanski being wined and dined? Why is he at the front of the list? This is even with Harbaugh. I think he's a strong candidate based on their eyes. And I totally don't understand it. I'd rather, Rye, have a coordinator. I don't want a coordinator, but I would rather go coordinator because maybe I get a Ben Johnson, a Liam Cohen, the next one, because I know what Stefanski is. He's a failed head coach. He is a failure. Like, he got fired. He won one playoff game. So I don't want anything to do with him.
I couldn't agree more. My next question was, I mean, it was a great comeback win with the Knicks. We needed that for our confidence, like you said. Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick a generic starting five, for me, I want the Tibbs starting five. But who would be your sixth man, or would it just depend on the situation? I mean, Clarkson put up some good numbers today. I think Robinson had less mm-hmm. than 5 points, but he had almost 10 rebounds. Yeah. But Clarkson had over 10 points, and he was kind of even on the assists and some boards. I want to hear your opinion.
So, fully healthy, what's my ideal starting five, and who do I want as a sixth man? That's what you're asking?
100%, yes.
I appreciate the call, bro. I love Josh Hart as the sixth man. I love the idea of the energy, the rebounding, diving for loose balls, jumping into the second row, the fast break, the one-man fast break. I like Josh Hart as the sixth man. So I'd go double big. I'd go Mitch. I'd go Cat. I'd go OG. I'd go Mikal Bridges. And then obviously Jalen Brunson with Josh Hart being my sixth man. And you brought up Clarkson, who, you know, look, there's some nights where he's great. There's some nights where he's not so great, but he's been a really good addition. And he's a basketball player. He gets it. He's a guy that could come in instant offense. And what you love about a Jordan Clarkson is that you need a guy like him, especially come playoff time, because we know it. There's going to be a night where Karl Anthony Towns just doesn't show up. And when you have Jordan Clarkson, who could drop 25, 30 points, he is a very valuable asset and weapon for Mike Brown off the bench. Same with Landry Shamet when he obviously is hurt now, but like when he was healthy. Tyler Kolek has come a really long way. And I think what Mike Brown deserves a lot of credit for, not just playing the bench, but developing a lot of the Knicks' younger players. And they've all really taken steps forward. So I like the idea. And you need a deep bench. If you're going to beat the Thunder, if you're going to beat the Pistons, if you're going to beat these teams that go, you know, 8, 9, 10 deep, if you're going to win a championship, you have to play the bench. And that's why Tibbs, or one of the reasons why, he was let go. And I think so far, that was the right call. Now, I know there's going to be people that are waiting, the Tibbs supporters, and they're quiet now, but they're going to be coming out of the woodworks if the Knicks get bounced early, especially if because of, you know, bad defense. And they're going to say, well, Tibbs' teams at least wouldn't be bad defensively. I mean, a lot of that would have to do with their star players, JB and Cat, not being great defensively. But ultimately, I think Mike Brown has done a really nice job to start off here, and part of that is playing the bench and developing the younger players. Let's go to Mike in Orange County. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I called a bunch of times. I just want to say thank you. This is my first time on the After Hours. But anyway.
Well, thank you, Mike. Really, I appreciate you thanking me, but thank you. Appreciate you hearing from you, and I'm looking forward to talking Knicks with you.
Awesome. Yeah, let's go. So I'm on my way home from the game right now, and I just wanted, did you watch the game?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to know, I'm very happy we won and everything. What do you think about Towns tonight?
I mean, compared to what he's been, And there's been a lot of speculation about why he has struggled, whether it's, you know, there's that feeling of, oh, he got engaged, or I think someone was speculating, oh, was he not feeling well, which is, I mean, basically everybody on the planet right now. I thought he was good. The problem right. to me with my, the problem with Kat, ultimately.
You have a problem with me?
The issue with Kat is not offensively when it comes to shooting the ball. I think he's the best shooting big man, certainly in the league, and one of the best, if not the best of all time. The problem I have with him is that when we play these rough and tough teams, he could come up small, whether it's on the glass, whether it's defensively, and he doesn't dominate the way a guy his size should. Now, I know it's not totally his style, but they're going to need him to be that. Like, I think, Mike, and I appreciate the call, bro, that OG Anunoby is their second best player because of his versatility and the fact that he is great defensively and also can be great and carry you offensively, where Kat, it's really just on one side of the floor. And if you're just a one side of the floor player, I'm not going to make you my second best player because Anunoby could more than handle and hold his own offensively. And then he's also a massive, massive weapon and plus defensively. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. The college football semifinals get going tomorrow night with the first matchup featuring the Miami Hurricanes taking, well, actually, you know what? I knew I was going to do this. Technically, it's tonight. Now, for me, even before I took over this shift, 12:30, midnight, after hours, as it was, this is a night still. But for some of you out there, it's the morning. And for some of you out there, and technically by the letter of the law, it is already today or tomorrow or Thursday, January 8th. So if I'm promoting something that's coming up tonight, I really should probably be, you know, to the letter of the law and say tonight. So we're going to start over there. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. The college football semifinals get going later tonight with the first matchup featuring Miami, the Hurricanes taking on Ole Miss. Unless you're a fan of the other three teams left, meaning Miami, meaning Indiana, meaning Oregon, I think the rest of America is rooting for Ole Miss, considering how everything went down with Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss took the world by storm. I mean, he was ridiculous. That performance against Georgia was breathtaking. He was sensational. Some of those plays he made were Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, you know, rolled into one. And he can continue to improve his draft status by lighting up a very, very strong Miami defense that just knocked off the defending champs, Ohio State, and of course led by Reuben Bain, who will definitely be a top 10 pick. I could even see the Giants going in that direction because he is the best pass rusher in all of college football, and Miami is absolutely deserving of being the favorite in that game. I think it's an interesting spot because of Chambliss. He has an opportunity, like I just said, to really cement himself now because you did it against Georgia. It was outstanding. Now, with the four teams left, all the eyes of football on you, because it's not just college football. Like, I love college football. I know there's a lot of people that just watch the NFL. Football fans will be watching now because you have less NFL games to watch. And also, if you are any one of these teams that are picking in the top 10 and you need a quarterback, you're going to watch. Well, Mendoza now is off limits, but Dante Moore, because he might come out, Chambliss. So you can really improve your stock. And you, like, if Dante Moore wins the championship, I don't think this happens, but if he comes out, do the Raiders say, well, I mean, Moore, even though Indiana beat him in the regular season, with the chips down, Moore beat Mendoza, does he go number one overall? And it could really change a lot of the decision-making heading into the draft in a couple of months. So I'm excited for it just as a college football fan, just as a football fan. And that gets going, of course, on Thursday, the semifinal on Friday, and then we get the playoffs. So you really, what you really need to do here is one of two things. If you're married, number one, get a divorce in the next, you know, half hour, which I understand. Look, it's time sensitive, but get a divorce or explain to your wife, which I'm going to have to do. And I usually do it in like little, you know, snippets because she is very confused with two things now. Number one, sports, just in general, the schedule throws her off because I said, hey, listen, you know, Saturday, obviously I'm watching the football games. And she's like, oh, well, yeah, college, right? Because it's a Saturday. I go, no, it's NFL. She goes, are you rewatching the games from last week? I go, no, I'm not Evan. I'm not a weirdo. I'm watching the live games, and then I'll never in the rest of my life ever watch the game again. She's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, there's games on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's the NFL. They're pigs. They would play every night of the week if they could. She goes, all right. And then I'm like, well, you know, I didn't want to, after doing that, I didn't want to tell her there's a game tomorrow night, but I'll, or later tonight, because I'll be here watching it. But I didn't want to let her know there was a Friday night game. I didn't want to do that. And the other, because it's tough. You don't want to throw it all at once. The other thing is she has no idea what my schedule is. No idea. And I said to her, I said, what does it matter what time I go in? Because you know what time I'm getting home. I'm basically getting in around 2 a.m., 5 a.m. You know, Ma, I've been working nights. So don't worry about it. She wants me to write it down on a calendar. I will not do that. I refuse to do that. I've worked so hard my entire life with a lot of things. I am not going to be one of these men that write this stuff down on a calendar. If you're a calendar person, that's fine. You could do that. I have a little chores thing that she has for me, and I get a gold star if I make the bed. And you can make fun of me if you want, but it's a way to be productive, for me to be productive. Take the trash out, I get a star. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to write things out on a calendar. I'm not a calendar person. I'm not an organizer. I don't like it. I'm not writing my schedule out on the calendar. We get emailed the schedule here by our schedule people. The schedule makers make the schedule. It's a committee of schedule makers. There's this big committee. They reach out to me every week. Hey, Loogie, can you work this hour? Can you work that hour? Can you do an extra hour here? Can you do a lesser? Can you do this? Can you boop, 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 boop? The schedule people. Then the schedule people, after meeting and consulting, they go to the architect. The architect approves it. They send out an email with the schedule. I can add my wife's email to that so she knows my schedule. Because one thing I'm not going to do is write it out on the calendar. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Trae Young is a villain to Knick fans. The F. Trae Young chants are quite popular. I, for one, couldn't stand them even before today because I feel like it's the Knick fan bro TikTok guys that sit outside the Garden are not even really at the game. They're just there to get a 2 million views on their TikTok page. So they do the F. Trae Young chants any chance they get. Like, the Knicks didn't even play the Hawks that night. The Knicks, you know, defeat a team to move on in the playoffs, and you go outside Madison Square Garden and you hear the TikTok bro Knick fans saying F. Trae Young. So I was never the biggest fan of it anyway, but whatever. We now must abolish and ban the F. Trae Young chants for good, or certainly for this season. Because if you're just tuning in and you have no idea what I'm talking about, Trae Young has been traded. Trae Young is no longer an Atlanta Hawk. Trae Young is a Washington Wizard. Now you ask yourself, Loogie, he's on the Wizards now. I mean, he's in oblivion. They've been a brutal team forever. Why should I, A, care about Trae Young? And certainly, why would I stop saying F Trae Young, and why would I root for him? Here's why. The Knicks have an opportunity to get the Wizards' first-round pick. But it's protected, meaning if the Wizards end up with a top eight pick, meaning one through eight, the Knicks would not get the pick. But if they finish, you know, this is lottery, if they get the ninth pick or the 10th pick or whatever, anything past eight, the Knicks would get the Wizards' first round pick. Meaning Trae Young, if he plays well with Washington, if they win, Trae Young has the opportunity to give the Knicks a top 10 pick. So it's no longer F. Trae Young. I don't know who wants to police it for me, but Positive Tommy needs this, the police, the Knick police here to police this. No F. Trae Young chance. It's sway for Trae Young, meaning swaying our hatred to fan affection for him. We're going to cheer Trae Young. We're going to pray for Trae Young. Pray for the best and his success in Washington. Because Trae Young can give the Knicks, single-handedly, can give the Knicks a top 10 pick. As long as Washington is not in the top eight in the NBA draft, the Knicks will get the pick because it's protected as a top eight. So the Knicks could end up picking ninth and 10th. And you're talking about a team in the Knicks that could win a championship, they could get to the finals. I am winning the championship, but if you think they're going to go to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals, they're a playoff team, we could all agree on that. To have an opportunity to get a top 10 player in the draft to add to this team that's already stacked is something that you should want. So Trae Young has now gone from the villain to potentially the hero. So it's not F. Trae Young. It's sway for Trae. It's yay, Trae. It's pray for Trae. Because Trae Young, one of the most hated basketball players by Knick fans over the last, 5 to 8 years, now has the opportunity to give us something that is extremely valuable. Yay, Trey. Go, Trey. Sway your hate to Trey to liking him and pray for Trey. We'll land on one of them. That was workshopping. We'll get one, but I like yay, Trey. Instead of F. Trey Young, it's yay, Trey. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jason in Rockland County. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Reggie.
Hey, what's going on?
If you think the Knicks do get a top 10 pick, what you think they won't screw it up? When was the last time they made a normal pick with the pick?
Well, I mean, Jason, it's kind of like one of those situations where I think about it with the Jets, where everybody says, well, can this, and I appreciate the call. You know, how can I trust Moogie? How can I trust Aaron Glenn to make the right decision? Because look at all the bad decisions previous regimes have had, right, and have made when it comes to drafting or picking a quarterback. And the Knicks have obviously had their issues when it comes to drafting through the years, which is beyond well documented. Leon Rose is batting close to 1,000 with decisions. Even if you're not a big Karl Anthony Towns fan, I think we can all agree that we'd rather have him than Julius. I know Julius could do the bully ball stuff, but Karl Anthony Towns is a better player. And really, I mean, Dante DiVincenzo, there's reports that the Knicks could bring him back. So we could end up trading Julius Randle for Karl Anthony Towns and Dante DiVincenzo, getting him back. And how great would that be? Leon Rose has been excellent. He's turned the Knicks into a well-oiled machine as far as a franchise. So I trust him in that spot. And I would be salivating to get a top 10 pick, even if it's slightly outside the top 10. Honestly, top 15, a first-round pick would be phenomenal, but I'm shooting for the stars. The great train is here. There's a seat on it, and I'm going to get a seat on it because it's yay, Trey. It's no longer F. Trey Young. It's yay, Trey. Please win games. Have a chip on your shoulder. Get the Wizards outside of the top 8. Get the Knicks a top 10 pick, and away we go. Let's go to Tim on Long Island. What's up, Tim?
Tommy, congrats on the Lugauer.
Thank you.
I'm very happy that you have the night show.
Appreciate it.
I mean, listening to the Knicks and watching the game tonight, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, why would you even screw up the team right now if you wanted to trade Big Cat? I know looks like he has cement in his shoes, but the Knicks right now, why mess up anything right now?
You're saying, like, you're meaning, like, for Giannis. Is that what you're implicating?
I mean, who wouldn't want a Greek god in New York City? But at the same time, why would you screw up a recipe right now?
Yeah, and I don't think they are, Tim. And James Dolan was on the air, you know, Monday with Craig and C-Mac on the Carton Show. Afternoons here, 2 to 7 p.m., 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. And Dolan was asked about that. You know, the Knicks will make a major trade at the deadline? And Dolan said, look, I don't think so. I could be overruled by Leon Rose, but I don't think so because I want to see this through. We have a great team here. We want to, now I'm paraphrasing, but we had a great team. We want to hang a banner, not the NBA Cup banner, championship banner. So we are not going to mess with the chemistry and with the core of this team for now. I take him at his word for now. Now, in the offseason, if they fall short, I think the Giannis conversation absolutely opens up, and I think that it's a different ballgame. But, yeah, I take him at his word because it doesn't make any sense. Like you just said, like I said, like a lot of people have said, Giannis now makes no sense. But a smaller move, Jose Alvarado, getting Dante back, yeah, we could talk about that. But what are you giving up? You giving up Mitchell Robinson? I wouldn't. I understand you don't want to lose him for nothing, but Mitchell Robinson is just too much of an X factor, especially on the offensive boards, and I'm just not willing to part with him. Deuce McBride, we could have that conversation. I love Deuce, but we could have that conversation. I think Jose Alvarado, both Dante and Alvarado, but Alvarado especially defensively, he could be the backup point guard, which means Kolick would lose some time, but Alvarado is so good as far as with his defense, and that's certainly one of the things you could point to if you feel like the Knicks are not championship worthy, and that's their defense. And Alvarado can bring that in spades, and you could play Brunson off the ball, and it would certainly improve your backcourt D. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Now, we have a gentleman on the line here that we're going to get to who has done such a wonderful job of never giving up when it comes to suggestions for the quest that I am on, that we are on, really, to find a softer phrase for the word tanking. We've had a lot of suggestions, none of them really being the 10 or 11 or 12 out of 10 that I am looking for, more in the 7 to 8 range, which is good, if not really good, but we're looking for great, we're looking for outstanding, we're looking for perfect. This fella, Jay in Woodmere, has called me up several times, and every single time I've shot him down. Up on the board here, it seems like he wants to talk about something else. Even though last night he said he was going to present to me another phrase for that. And I wonder if I have gotten to the point, and Jay in Woodmere, you could tell me in the audience if that's the case. Have you given up, or are you just still brainstorming one? Because you have on the board here Cashman and not a phrase for tanking.
So what happened is I called in at 12:05 and said, I want to suggest another term for tanking. And whoever was taking my call said, oh, I don't think we're doing that tonight.
Oh, you know what? You know what? That was that person was Paul Rosenberg. He's fired. We've removed him from the premises. He's banned like Bart Simpson, and we got him out of here, Jay. That was a Rosenberg move. And really, he thinks he's a glue guy. He thinks he's like somebody that's like, you know, really a big part of what we do here. And what you'll come to learn from my dear friend and one of my producers, Paul Rosenberg, is that number one, he's an imbecile. And number two, he's lazy. And number three, really when you're friends with him and you work with him, it's really a cross to bear. But it's my cross to bear. And it's one of those situations where I've warned him enough and he's, you know, fired. Not only fired, I'm banning him. I'm not allowing him in Manhattan for the idea that he said that to you, Jay, because you are one of these people that are so into the bit and so into the segment that we do with it that you asked to get through it's like the scene in Knocked Up where you always come to the club and you always get in if you haven't seen the movie, but I'll tell you how it is. So you're coming to the movie now and you're with your pregnant sister and you're not allowed in because you old, she's pregnant and we don't want a bunch of old pregnant blah, blah, blah in the club. But you're not old for this earth, you're old for the club. And you're like, well, you're a doorman. So the doorman, Paul Rosenberg, who we've removed, he's been fired because I have a list and you're on it. He ultimately didn't let the people in the club in the movie. But you are in the club now. You're inside the velvet rope. So really, Jay, do whatever you want. That's all it boils down to.
So I have a term for tanking, which I don't know if you'll appreciate it.
Yes.
But I'm sure the Buckram in the audience will.
Yes.
Which I'm going to say it once, and you're probably not going to understand it. I'll explain it after.
Okay.
So if you look at tanking, there are two ways to look at it. If you look at it, mitzad the gaber or mitzad the chefza. So if you look at mitzad the chefza, it's a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at mitzad the gaber, it's a win. So I think it's tanking. It's a din the gaber. Now to explain that.
Yeah, please.
So in the yeshiva system, which I'm not sure if you know, Jewish schools, we learn Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into the Talmud. And, you know, there's many laws, and sometimes it's very different. Sometimes you say that the difference between two laws, whether you look at the object or the person doing the thing. So looking at the object, chafza.
Jay, by the way, just jump in. I love how into this you are. I mean, you are, like, you not only, like, come with, like, I'm learning something, and everyone's learning something. Well, not everyone. I mean, people know that, but I am learning, for sure. And the fact that the presentation and that you think about this, and I'll let you continue, but it's just, it's big time stuff. Because, Jay, there's a lot of people, and you know by listening, that just call in and go, give me the phrase. And it's one of those things where you're like at an awkward date, and they say something, and then they just stop talking, and they don't really explain it. You provide all the work and all the history and how you got to what you come up with, which always just makes it tough for me when I turn you down. But it's not because I like that. I feel like I'm pushing you and I'm challenging you to come with these things because they're all excellent. So continue on, please.
So if you look at mitzav the chetza, which means from the side of the object,
yes,
the object, the game, you lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Yes.
But if you look at mitzav the gavra from the person's point of view, it's a win because mm-hmm. the team is going to go on to get a better pick. So I think the slogan is tanking. It's a din the gavra, which means the law is about the person.
Jay, I love you. I love you like a brother. I don't know you. If I ever met you, we could go out for a cappuccino. It's not the perfect one I'm looking for. But, like I said, you bring so much to this because of the explanation, the history, your thought process. I love it. Call in anytime you want. Come with anything you want as far as this stuff. We're going to get there. This is not a quest. This is not a, you know, walk to where we're going to in terms of, you know, if we're Frodo Baggins, so to speak, in Lord of the Rings, and we're getting to Mordor. It's a long journey. So it's going to have its ups and downs. And it's not something that we're going to achieve in one night or one month or maybe even one year. Because quite frankly, I think it's a really good bit and I want to get, you know, my contract extended. So we're going to extend that and we're going to, you know what I mean? If it's one of the best things I thought of, we really needed to extend a little bit longer than January, which is the first month that I'm here full time. Okay. Now, we will hear from Jay. We'll hear from others on tanking. We have a lot of topics tonight. And we have one more hour to go. Gordon Damer comes your way at 2 o'clock. So the soft phrases for tanking, as always, Giants, Jets, the Knicks, yay Trey, no longer F Trey Young. Trey Young can get the Knicks a top 10 pick if he does well with the Wizards. We will open it up, too, also with the baseball here. I have a real, you know, strong take on the baseball offseason, and we can get into what's going on with Kyle Tucker. That's coming up as well. The number's 888-808-1019. It's After Hours. It's Loogie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.